This is the State of Things from the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. I'm Frank Stachow. The State Board of Elections is looking into complaints about the conservative lobby group Americans for Prosperity. That organization sent out hundreds of thousands of mailers with incorrect voter registration information. Americans for Prosperity was founded with the support from conservative Koch brothers. The political advocacy group denies the misinformation was deliberate. But there are serious concerns that the false directions could have an effect on suppressing the vote nonetheless. WRAL's Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie has been covering the story and is here to talk about it. Welcome back, Laura. Good to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us more. How did all this get started?
Well, okay. According to AFP Foundation, which is the nonprofit branch of the political group, this was a national mailing that happened in various states. It wasn't just North Carolina. And it was their attempt, they said, to get some civic outreach and to get some people registered to vote. They sent out these flyers from the national level to people we don't know, and this is key, we don't know how they picked the people or, in some cases, family pets to send them to. But they went out anyway. And the flyers themselves basically have some instructions on them that aren't quite correct. For example, it says that they're supposed to return this item to the Secretary of State's office, you know, elections division. Well, we don't have one of those. We have an elections board. It's not the Secretary of State's office. However, the thing is, in a lot of states, that's how that works. And that may have been one of those things that was put in the mailer that would have worked in other states that somebody didn't notice needed to be revised for North Carolina. Another one is it's one place on the flyer says it's got 30 days from the election is the registration deadline. Another place it says 25 days. Again, in some states, it's 30. In North Carolina, it's 25, right? So, Americans for Prosperity Foundation is saying that, you know, obviously they say none of this was intentional. They say, you know, it came from the nationals. It was well-intentioned. They've apologized to the Board of Elections. But in the meantime, the phones have been ringing literally off the hook at the Board of Elections. I was there Friday. I mean, standing in the lobby, just one call after another about these things because people are confused. They don't know. I mean, some of these people are dead that get addressed to. Some of these people are not even people. One woman got one for her cat.
Well, and those are the people who are complaining and calling in with those complaints are the folks who noticed something is wrong, and we have no idea how many people have just not noticed and sort of misregistered.
Well, they wouldn't have misregistered because even for one thing, the envelope that came with the ballot was actually addressed to the State Board of Elections. For another thing, the Board of Elections assures us if somebody did send it back to the Secretary of State's office, then it will get to the Board of Elections. The Secretary of State's office knows to be on the lookout for these things. You know, but there are concerns, especially for example, the North Carolina Democratic Party filed a formal complaint about these things earlier this week on Monday, alleging that this was a deliberate attempt to discourage or intimidate or just confuse voters and keep them from voting. And of course, the State Board of Elections is looking into that complaint. Now, that's not easy to prove, obviously. I mean, because you would have to basically prove malice in this case, which it sounds to me when I spoke with Josh Lawson at State Board of Elections last week, it sounded like at this point he was saying, you know, at this point of what they know, it doesn't look as if that's the case. But if they were to prove that, it could be a felony.
It's a felony. So that's a criminal offense.
Yes.
But you'd have to prove, as you say, malice. So what does Americans for Prosperity say about all this?
They just say it as a mistake. They say they're sorry. They apologize for the confusion. They've apologized to the Board of Elections. The Board of Elections, I understand, has asked them to send out correct information to the voters. So we'll have to see, you know, whether they do that. And there's also still, again, the question of where they came up with these names. And I asked that question. And what I was told is that, well, it's proprietary information, but on the state level, they don't even know. You know, it's hard to say whether they went off of Facebook, maybe. They might have gone to friends of people who are associated with AFP. You know, there's no – at this point, it's impossible to tell whether they were targeting or not targeting a particular group of the voting population.
Can AFP go back? Do they have the list? And do they know who they sent these things to? It seems to like the information is at least available. They have a mailing list.
Of some kind. Well, they have several because these things are still going out. There's another drop going on. You know, it was, I guess, already in process. So, yeah, that's probably a conversation that will have to be had between the attorneys for the group and the attorneys for the State Board of Elections.
And obviously nothing will be resolved before the election.
Most likely not. Usually complaints take at least a couple of weeks to look into. I mean, they may try to hurry this one up. There's a lot of concern this year because state lawmakers got rid of the same-day registration option that we've had at one-stop voting. That was why they called it one-stop. You could register and vote the same day. We can't do that anymore. Now anybody who wants to vote in this upcoming election has to be registered by October November 10th. And so, you know, they're very concerned to the State Board of Elections to make sure that that deadline, you know, that information is very, very clear.
And there have been other rumors, too, about people going door to door, various rumors about databases being lost, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I heard about this, that there's a rumor out there that somehow the State Board of Elections voter registration database has become corrupted and people need to re-register. There is absolutely no truth to that rumor. But apparently some people have taken it upon themselves to go around and tell their friends that they need to re-register and even canvass their neighborhood and that kind of thing. It's not true. If you're registered, you can go online and check your registration. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to do. Just make sure that you're active and everything's fine. You know, if you re-register, it's not going to screw anything up, I don't think.
Well, but it could. And I think the Board of Elections is being very clear. If you think you're registered, don't do another
thing. Yeah, don't send another one. Because that's just, it's more work for them.
Right.
Right, more processing for them. And you know, with all the phone calls they've got to deal with right now and the election coming up, that's about the last thing they need.
If you're not registered, October 10th is the deadline. So you have to get that done if you want to vote in this upcoming election.
That is right. And it's important to remember, you cannot register online. You cannot email a registration. You have to print out the registration form, sign it with ink, right, with wet ink on your own. And you can either mail it or you can take it back if you want to your County Board of Elections office. But you cannot wait until, you know, midnight on the 10th to do this because it needs to be postmarked that day.
Speaking of the election, Rand Paul in town to stump for Tom Tillis.
He is in town to stump for Tom Tillis, which is a very interesting development. And the reason I say it's interesting is because you may remember back in the primary, Rand Paul stumped for Tillis's opponent, Greg Brannon, and even endorsed him early on in the race. Of course, Tillis won that primary, but that was a pretty divisive primary, and there were a lot of Tea Party-affiliated folks, some of the more conservative folks who were big Brannon supporters and who are not particularly, we'll say, enthused or motivated about the prospect of voting for Speaker Tillis. And, you know, so I think they're doing what they can within the party and within the campaign to sort of, you know, smooth over those divisions, you know, and get people excited about coming out to the polls for him.
Yeah, a lot of reports suggest that Tea Party voters are going to sit it out and are not happy. And if we look at the ads, a lot of money, of course, we know is going into this campaign, a lot of TV advertising.
It is insane. Yeah. I was just counting up the alerts I get for new ads, big ad buys that come out, and 9 this week so far.
Wow.
7 have been on behalf of or by Tom Tillis. 2 have been on behalf of or by Kay Hagan. That's probably a reflection of the polls that seem to show that she's sort of maintaining a small but persistent lead, only a couple of percentage points. But as you get closer to the wire in this many polls, you know, that becomes to look more – it starts to look more and more worrisome, we'll say, for the Republican nominee.
And it's interesting because ordinarily we are aiming for – we hear at this time of the election cycle – the candidates are really looking toward to persuade those undecided voters. But these ads really do seem to be aimed at the base of both parties.
They are. And, you know, one thing that's important to remember about these ads, too, and so many of them have been negative, let's be clear about that, is that what negative ads tend to do is to decrease turnout. They discourage voters. They, you know, sort of de-enthusiastic, right?
Exactly. A pox on both of your houses,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, some of that is probably going on because each side would profit if the other side's base doesn't show up, and that's really what it comes down to. There aren't that many undecided voters. There are just voters who haven't decided whether they're going to bother to vote,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's what this is about. And so you've got on one hand, we're talking about the Hagan campaign is – or her supporters are talking about Medicaid, for example, or student debt. And on Tom Tillis' side, they're talking about gun rights, for example, Second Amendment rights.
Well, in still other news, a legislative subcommittee held a hearing on Monday to look into the state medical examiner's office. What's behind that?
This came out of a series, a very good series in Charlotte Observer earlier this year that looked at problems that had been endemic for some time in the medical examiner's office. You may remember that there was a carbon monoxide poisoning in Boone in a hotel. And a boy died after a couple had died. And the thing is that the medical examiner in that case never went to the scene, which oftentimes they don't. But that information wasn't processed in time to save that boy's life. And so I think that's what really was the genesis of this. So they found real serious problems. And one out of 9 cases, for example, the medical examiner doesn't even look at the body, which is required, right? But here's what, you know, what they found in this hearing that they talked about on Monday is a chronically understaffed, underfunded, undertrained place. You know, you've got hundreds of these medical examiners. They're not required to have any training at all, for example. They're not they don't have the funding to do the job adequately. And so that was really the upshot. But what was interesting is that there was another media report back in 2001 Same kind of thing, found the same problems, still problems today.
So is there any hope that things will change? It does sound like money is a big part of it. And, of course, North Carolina is unique, not unique, but rare in that it is a state that has a state medical examiner's office.
Well, that's not really rare, actually. Every state does it differently. There isn't like one standard way to do it. But I think they're probably – well, I'm sure they said this in 2001 too, but – there seems to be political will to get this changed. The question is money. As you know, things are tight, and lawmakers are like, we need to fix this. But it's going to be a struggle to find, several million dollars a year more, which is really what it's going to take to adequately staff that division and get it up to national minimum standards.
Laura, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Laura Leslie, WRAL's Capital Bureau Chief, reporting on voter registration confusion and much, much more. To find out more about her reporting, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we talk with civil rights leader Congressman John Lewis about a graphic novel that tells the story of his life, March, on the State of Things. From North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, please stay with us.